We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You know, as Christians, we ought always to be ready to talk to other people about the hope of our salvation. As a matter of fact, we ought to look for opportunities to talk to other people about the hope of our salvation. And I am always so encouraged when I hear that members of the church are doing this, when they are not afraid to talk to their friends and their family and their co-workers about things that are religious. Now, this last week, one of the members of this congregation was talking with one of her co-workers about religious matters. This particular co-worker attends a denomination. And somehow in the course of their conversation, they got to talking about the fact that this friend, she goes to a church where she calls her preacher by the name of Reverend. And so they got to talking about that. And one thing led to another, and the next thing you know, this preacher got involved in the discussion. And he sent an email talking about the fact that he wears the name Reverend. And this member of the church said, "That's not correct. According to the New Testament, it's not proper for us to wear religious titles." And so this gentleman, this preacher, sent an email justifying, or at least seeking to justify, why it's okay to wear religious titles, in his opinion, and particularly, I guess, why it is acceptable for him to be called by the name of Reverend. Now, this is not for the purpose of picking on this particular man, but I want to read this man's email. I'm not going to give you his email address or his name, but I want to read the email, and then I want to discuss what he says in light of the Scriptures. And by the way, before I got up and did this morning, I talked to this individual. I got permission to read this email. I don't want folks to think if you send me a private email, I'm going to get up and read it in the pulpit or anything like that. But I did get permission to do this. This is what this preacher wrote in his email, seeking to justify wearing religious titles such as Reverend. He says, "All the prophets were called prophets. The disciples were called apostles. Peter was called Rock and was given the keys to the kingdom. John is referred to as the Baptist. Bishops, evangelists, elders, deacons, ministers, etc. are all titles given by the Bible and used accordingly. How the church uses them is up to the church. If anyone prefers not to use titles, that's fine. But there's nothing wrong with those who do, and there is evidence that they did. Besides, what one is called has nothing to do with salvation. That comes as a result of grace through Christ and belief in Him." Now, that's his email, justifying the wearing of religious titles. What I want to do is examine this email, and then I want to look at some specific titles by which men label themselves. First, let's look at this man's statement where he says all of the prophets were called prophets. First thing I would say is, that has nothing to do with the wearing of religious titles. The term prophet is a descriptive term relating to the work that they did. Prophets were men who prophesied. It would be it's a job description, just like we might call someone today a bank teller. That's not a job title. It's descriptive of the work that they do. Now, secondly, he says the disciples were called apostles. Well, again, I would say that has nothing to do with the wearing of religious titles. And I would also point out, not all of the disciples were called apostles. Only 12 of the disciples were called apostles. Again, it's not a title. The word apostle means one sent. And so the apostles were men who were chosen or sent by God to fulfill a specific mission. And the term apostle was never used as a title. It was descriptive of the work that they had been chosen to do. Thirdly, he says, Peter was called the Rock and was given the keys to the kingdom. Now, this has nothing to do with religious titles. Cephas was also known by the name Peter. The word Peter means rock, but that has nothing to do with wearing of religious titles. Then he says John was referred to as the Baptist. Again, this is not a religious title. Baptist simply means immerser. John is the one who baptized people. That's what it means. John the Baptist was John, the one who immerses people. It's not a religious title. Then he writes, bishops, evangelists, elders, deacons, ministers, etc. are all titles given by the Bible and used accordingly. Well, he's wrong about that. None of these are titles given by the Bible. Evangelists, elders, deacons, ministers are not titles of religious exaltations. They are labels descriptive of the work in which people were engaged. A man who is a minister, the term minister simply means servant. An individual who is a deacon, the word deacon in the original Greek language is very closely akin to the word for minister. a man who is a deacon. That's not a title that he wears. You don't call someone deacon so-and-so. Deacon means one who serves. It is descriptive of the work in which he engages. The name elder refers to a specific office that can be held, but the word elder is descriptive of the age of the men who hold this office. Evangelist, again, is not a religious title. It refers to a man who evangelizes. It's descriptive of the work that he does. The word bishop is not a title. It is a word that means overseer or superintendent. It is descriptive of the work of an elder. He oversees the church. None of these things are religious titles. And finally, he says this. He says, besides, what one is called has nothing to do with salvation. That comes as a result of grace through Christ and belief in Him. And so essentially what he is saying is this. As long as you have faith, nothing else matters. You don't have to worry about obeying the commandments of the Lord. If the Lord said not to do something, that's irrelevant. That doesn't really matter. As long as you have faith, then you're good to go. Now, friends, that's shocking to hear that. But it is a very common belief in the religious world today. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus gives us a scene from the judgment day in which He discusses those people who will be allowed entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus says. He says, many will say unto Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name and cast out devils and done many wonderful works? But I want you to listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said that all of those who call upon Me, who are going to say, Lord, Lord, who think they're going to go to heaven, He said they're not going to go, but rather, He says, those who did the will of the Father. The people that Jesus said will be allowed entrance into the kingdom of heaven are those who did the will of the Father. You see, just believing is not enough. It does matter whether or not you obey the Lord. Now, somebody might say, you know, why are you making such a big deal about this? You know, I kind of agree with what the man says. What difference does it make what you're called? It's kind of like the statement that Gary made in his sermon last Sunday night. By the way, Gary did a good job. I appreciate him doing that. But Gary made a reference to something from Shakespeare. A rose by any other name is still a rose. In other words, the name doesn't matter. The name is just a word. So why are you getting so worked up about all of this? In light of that question, I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. I want us to notice what the Lord has to say about this and see why does this matter. In Matthew chapter 23, let's begin reading together in verse number 1. The Bible says, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. He says, That observe and do. Now it's interesting here that obedience is commanded by the Lord. The Lord said obedience does matter. Observe it and do it. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens which are grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves do not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. Phylacteries were leather pouches that they would wear on their foreheads. And they would put scriptures in them. And he says that these particular men would wear big phylacteries. And they would put verses of scripture in them so that when people saw them and they saw these large phylacteries on their head, they would say, Wow, that's a religious person. He says they broaden their phylacteries and they enlarge the borders of their garments, their religious garments. Now, pay special attention to what he says in verse 6. And they love the uppermost rooms at the feast, and the chief seats at the synagogues, and the greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. They love the chief seats. They love men to look at them in religious circles and call them Rabbi or teacher. Now, what is the motivation for wanting to be called Rabbi, Rabbi? They were exalting themselves. But Jesus says in verse 8, Be not called ye Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And ye are all brethren. And call no man your father on this earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, For one is your master, even Christ, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Now the Lord specifically tells us in this discussion that the wearing of religious titles is related to the subject of self-exaltation. It involves me placing myself on a higher plane than other people. And he says some men love to do this, but he says it's not right. Now let's talk about some of these titles. First, let's talk about the term reverend, since that's the one under question. Is it all right if a man wants to call himself reverend? Is it okay for a preacher or for any other man, for that matter, to go by the religious title reverend? Does that violate Matthew chapter 23? I want to state emphatically that it does. And here's why. Jesus commanded wearing a title that would exalt a man above his brethren was a sin, because it makes him more important. It makes him appear to be greater than other people are. And that is exactly what he was condemning. Now, what about this title reverend? What if I want to call a man the Reverend John Brown? Let me give you some background on this word reverend. The word reverend, according to World Book Dictionary, means worthy of great respect. It is from the root word revere. That word means to love, to respect deeply, to honor greatly, to show reverence for. The World Book Dictionary even gives examples of how to use the word. Here's the example sentence it gives. It says, "We revere sacred things." Think about that. Now, it's interesting, in the Bible, the word reverend only appears one time. Now, you might say, it's got to be more than that. People call themselves reverend. I'm always hearing the word reverend in religious circles. You mean it's only one time in the Bible? That's exactly right. It's in Psalm 111 and verse 9. Now, I'm going to read it to you. You can turn there if you like. Psalm 111 and verse 9. The Bible says that He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, and His praise endures forever. Now, I want to make some observations about this. Number one, I want you to observe with me that the word reverend here is used not with reference to any human being, it's used with reference to God. Secondly, I want you to observe with me that the term reverend is a term of praise and exaltation. The Hebrew word here that's translated reverend is yareh. That word carries with it the idea. It means to fear or to revere. Essentially, what we're being told here is holy and feared is the name of God. Now, what does that mean when a man wears that title? Holy and feared. To be revered is this man? Now, it was interesting to me when I looked this up in the New King James Bible. Because the King James says, "Holy and reverend is His name." When I looked it up in the New King James, I was actually surprised because the New King James doesn't use the word reverend. It uses instead the word awesome. It says, "Holy and awesome is His name." Because this word in the original language means that God is of such a nature that He produces awe in man. Individuals fear Him because of His greatness and because of His power. That's why the King James translated it as reverend, and the New King James translates it as awesome. It's one who produces awe because of His majesty. I'm going to assign this to a man. Now, if I want to take this title used in the Bible to describe only God is described as reverend, and I want to call a man by that title, what if I call a man the Reverend John Baker? I have essentially called him the man who is to be revered, the awesome one, the one who is to be feared. Now, how does that mesh with Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus said, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren"? It doesn't mesh at all. It is interesting to me that not one time in the Bible is a man ever called reverend. You can search the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. No man is ever called reverend. You don't read about the Reverend Paul or the Reverend Peter. Not even the apostles were called reverend. That is an honor reserved for God only. As a matter of fact, when you understand what the word reverend means, when a man wants to call himself reverend, it makes me think about Acts chapter 15. Where Paul and Barnabas had gone into Lystra, And because of the miraculous abilities that Paul and Barnabas had, the people of that city thought they were gods. And so the people of that city brought garlands and oxen, and they were going to sacrifice unto them because they thought they were gods. And verse 14, when Paul and Barnabas saw what was happening, the Bible says they tore their clothes and they said, "Stop! Don't do this. We are only men. Don't, you can't, this is for God. You can't do this to us." It makes me think about Acts 10:26, where Cornelius tried to worship Peter, and Peter said, "Get up, I'm just a man. This is reserved for God." He was not about to accept that which belonged to God. What about the wearing of the name Reverend? The Bible says holy and reverend is His name. I got a debit card in the mail one time. I'd opened a bank account and I got a debit card in the mail. And when I pulled it out, it said on the front, "Reverend Donald Blackwell." And I thought, where did they get that? How did they even know I'm a preacher? I have no idea where they got this from. And so I called them back, and I know the person who did it probably had good intentions, and they probably thought they were doing a good thing, but I called them back and said, "Please take that off. I can't go and use this with the term Reverend describing me." I went into a car dealership one day, and the salesman kept calling me Reverend Blackwell, Reverend Blackwell, Reverend Blackwell. And I finally asked him to please stop, and I explained why I was uncomfortable with that, and he kind of laughed and kind of mocked me, because it's so contrary to what the denominational world does. But no man should be called the revered one. No man is awe-inspiring. No man has the majesty that should create fear in the hearts of men in this way. Clearly, it's a violation of Matthew 23. Here's a second one. What about the term father? What if we chose one man in this congregation, maybe the man who does the preaching, maybe one of the elders, and we said, "We're going to call him father." Would that be okay? Well, back in our text in Matthew 23 and verse 9, Jesus said, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing to me that people do this because it is such a blatantly direct violation of what Jesus said. Now, as a parenthetical note here, he's not talking about your daddy. It's okay to refer to your daddy as father, because in Luke 15, in the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus portrayed him as saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Jesus taught us that parable, and he represented the young man calling his daddy father. So we're not talking about that. We're not talking a biological, we're talking in the religious sense. Jesus said, "Don't call any man father." In the hereditary sense, the Bible uses it often that way. In John 8:56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father." And so that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about using the title father to exalt a man religiously above other people. And Jesus said that would be wrong. And if you look at the context, it is right in the midst of those people who like to be exalted. The people who love the chief seats and the upper rooms, who broaden their phylacteries, who like to be called rabbi and master. And in that context, Jesus says, "Don't call any man father." It's not to be given as a religious title of exaltation. But you know, the Roman Catholic Church has had total disregard for this passage, and they do it anyway. And the priests walk around in special clothing, just like it's described in Matthew 23, and they do it anyway. And they call themselves father in direct violation of Matthew 23. They do it anyway. And they will pronounce blessings upon you and pronounce forgiveness of your sins. Brethren, it is hard for me to imagine a human being taking a more arrogant position than that. To call himself father and to pronounce blessings and forgiveness upon another individual. Jesus said, "For one is your father which is in heaven." And these people have usurped His name, and they're pretending to do only what God can do. Mark 2 and verse 7, even the scribes correctly asked the question, "Who can forgive sins but God?" They understood a man can't do that. Only God has that power. "Call no man father upon this earth, for one is your father even in heaven." In verse 8 he says, "Ye are all brethren." Now, in light of that, he says, "Ye are all brethren." In light of that, I want to suggest to you that we could even misuse the term brother. Now, certainly brother is a proper term. When a person becomes a Christian, he's a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. So let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. Let's say that a man walks into the church building, member of the church, and he brings a friend with him. And he walks around and he begins to introduce his friend to members of the church. And he says, this is Larry, and this is his wife Donna, and this is Dale, and this is Pat, and this is Brother Don. Now what has he done? He's made a distinction between the rest of the members and the preacher. For him alone, he has reserved the title of brother. And in that sense, brother has become a title of exaltation. Now, brother's a proper term. Certainly the preacher is a brother in Christ. But isn't it the case that Larry and Pat and Dale are also brothers in Christ? So we need to be careful with that. Even an appropriate term could be misused in this way. Well, what about this? What about the term doctor? You know, it is increasingly common to hear denominational preachers referred to as Dr. So-and-so. Any problem with that? You know, there's certainly nothing wrong with a person holding a doctorate's degree, having a PhD. It's not a sin to have a high degree. But I want to caution us here. We need to be careful about this. Sometimes denominational preachers will have a high religious degree, maybe a Doctor of Divinity degree, and therefore their congregation will call them Dr. So-and-so. You know, in our modern time, the term doctor refers to a person with the highest level of training that you can get in a certain field. Now, brethren, you tell me this. When a man places that title in front of his name, to be called that by members of his congregation, and then he has it written on the name, on the sign in the front of his building, do you see any difference in that, in Jesus saying that there were some who loved to be called rabbi, rabbi, teacher, and master? It's the same thing. A rabbi, a teacher, was an exalted one. He had the highest level of training and teaching, and in that sense, he was exalting himself above his brethren by that title. And he says, and they love the greetings in the marketplace and to be called rabbi, rabbi. He says, but ye are all brethren. Call no man father on this earth, for one is your father in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. A master is an exalted teacher. Nothing wrong with being a doctor. But it could be misused as a religious title if we're not careful. Now, what about the term pastor? You know, the word pastor in and of itself is not a bad word. It's not even a title, really. This word is used in the New Testament not as a title, but as a description. Actually, the word pastor, you might be surprised to learn, but the word pastor actually only occurs one time in the Bible. It only appears one time in the New Testament, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, where the Bible says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, there's a great deal of confusion today in the religious world with reference to this term pastor. Normally, when people talk about the pastor, who are they talking about? The preacher of the congregation. I sometimes tell people, they say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a preacher. And they say, oh, you're a pastor. They use the terms synonymously. But I want you to listen to the definition of this word. The Greek word for pastor is the word poimen. The word poimen is used 18 times in the New Testament. 15 of those times it's translated as shepherd with a small s. Twice it is translated as shepherd with a capital S. And one time it is translated as pastor. Now, who are the pastors? A synonymous term with pastor is shepherd. The shepherds are the pastors. And that word is defined this way. According to Thayer's Greek lexicon, the pastors are the presiding officers, the managers, the directors of any assembly. It is used of the overseers of the Christian assemblies. Now, who are the overseers of the Christian assemblies, or the church, in other words? Who are the overseers of the church? And the answer is the elders. Now listen to this, so I can show it to you. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, Paul calls the elders of the church of Ephesus together. He gets all the elders together. And this is what he says to them in verse 28. He charges them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you, the elders, overseers. You see, the elders, the pastors, the poimen, they are the overseers. The pastor in the church is not the preacher of the church. The pastor in the church refers to the elders of the church. The word pastor really is synonymous with elder, or I should say elders, because you never in the Bible read about a congregation having only one elder. It's always used in the plural sense. A congregation must have at least two men to be elders. Now, when Richard McWilliams was here, he was the preacher, but he was also a pastor because he was one of the elders. He was one of the men who had authority over this congregation. I am not an elder, and so I'm not a pastor. Now, of course, we could spend a lot of time talking about other titles not found in the Bible. We could talk about Pope and Cardinal and Archbishop and probably make a long list of these. But we simply need to learn this. We need to learn to let to speak where the Bible speaks, and to be silent where the Bible is silent, and to call Bible things by Bible names, and we will be all right. Now, most of these improper religious titles revolve around the preacher. And so somebody might say, well, what do we call the preacher? You know, we can't call him Reverend, we can't call him a pastor, we can't call him Father. What are we supposed to call him? Well, let's let the New Testament answer. Let's let the Bible speak and call Bible things by Bible names. Well, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, it's appropriate to call a preacher an evangelist. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. That is, one who evangelizes. It is appropriate to call a preacher a minister. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister, a servant of Jesus Christ. It's appropriate to call a preacher a preacher. In Romans 10 and verse 14, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As a matter of fact, every person who is a New Testament Christian is a preacher, because that's what preacher means, one who preaches. Every one of us are ministers. We're servants. Every one of us are evangelists, or we should be. We should be ones who are evangelizing. And so somebody might say, well, you know, I think you're making too big a deal out of this. I just don't think all of this matters. But ladies and gentlemen, all of this goes back to one point, and that is we have got to have authority from heaven for the things that we do in religion. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. I challenge you this morning to look around you at the denominational world, because that's not what they were doing. If they were doing that, they wouldn't exist. Because the Lord promised and He purchased and He possesses only one church. And if people were following that strictly and distinctly, there would be no denominations. And we wouldn't have to worry about this subject of religious titles.